Hey everyone, welcome to episode 70 of Siths and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am here with Krista. How are you doing, Krista?
I'm not too bad, Casey. Yourself?
I've been doing pretty good. I gotta tell you something. There's something that, like, I really, really regret, and every time I look up to see what episode number we're on, I think about this now, because we're on episode 70, which means that, like, four episodes ago was episode 66, and I did not say execute episode 66, and I've been, like, beating myself up about it ever since.
I didn't realize this. Now, see, this tells you a lot about the person I am. I thought you were going to say that we were on episode 70, which means you failed to mention that last episode was episode 69, which is nice.
In the last episode, I said episode 69, and, like, in my head, I was mentally preparing myself for you to be, like, nice, but then you were, like, hype, and I was like, I didn't say it.
I know. I was like, nope.
So we are on episode 70, and we have a ton of Star Wars to talk about. It's hard to believe that it was, like, just a few weeks ago. We were like, man, there's, like, nothing going on in Star Wars, and now we've got the Mandalorian trailer, and we've got two comics to talk about today.
This is true.
So let's talk about that Mandalorian trailer. A lot going on in that one. Opens up with a shot of the Razor Crest.
But wait, before we get into it, there was a lot going on in it, but you know what wasn't going on it, and why, I don't know why everybody was shocked by it, was the lack of Ahsoka.
I feel like I need to point out that Ahsoka isn't even confirmed for The Mandalorian. She's not even confirmed as a live-action character. It's like a heavy rumor. Like, Rosario Dawson has not been officially cast.
It was just, I think what happened with Rosario Dawson is, like, she said something in an interview somewhere. And, like, that is what people were picking up and running with.
Yeah.
Was it, like, she confirmed? And, like, don't get me wrong. I expect her to be in it. I do. In some capacity. Shit, we might only get her as, like, a hologram.
We could.
Like, as a hollow. Like, we don't know.
We don't know anything, so everyone needs to, like, calm down.
But regardless, she was never going to, of the amount that she is, even if she, okay, so say she is live-action Rosario Dawson, we get her. We're only going to get her for an episode. Probably not a significant amount of time in the episode. And it'll all be used to set up the rumored Ahsoka and Sabine show that we are going to be getting in the future.
Yeah. My initial feeling was that if we get Ahsoka, we were going to get her for two episodes. I figured it would follow, like, the same path that, like, the first season did. Like, we would get an episode and then, like, maybe, like, a team-up episode at the end.
Yes, I could see that as well.
But then you pointed out a tweet to me where someone was like, we're going to get her in the last 2 minutes of season two, and it's going to be, like, him handing off the child to her. Which, he better not hand off the child to her.
I mean, if you were going to hand off the child to anybody, it would be in safe hands with Ahsoka.
That's fine, but now they need an Ahsoka series with the child, so yeah. I told myself I wasn't going to call him the child because he's Baby Yoda, and now, like, I'm doing it.
I mean, in all fairness, I think we cannot continue to only refer to him as Baby Yoda because he's not. He is not Baby Yoda. And at this point, he is now a full-fledged character. And he needs to be respected as such, as his own individual character.
I guess.
Okay. And it's hard because he's just so goddamn cute. And everything he does is just a meme. And I love him.
I understand that, like, Lucasfilm didn't know what they were getting.
I'm sorry. I think they had to know that this was going to be a massive hit. I truly do not think there was any fear on their part that people were going to react negatively to him.
I mean, they didn't have any toys ready to go for him.
I think that was all marketing ploy.
You think so?
Yeah, they. I don't think they wanted anybody to know that Baby Yoda was going to be a thing. Like, I don't think they wanted it leaked. because every, you know, games, if it, toys are usually, like, the number one thing that, like, starts leaking stuff from, like, a big movie or a big show.
That is true. Like, I've gotten more spoilers from, like, Lego sets than I have
yeah.
from anything else.
Or, like, Black Series figures, like, that kind of stuff. So, like,
yeah,
I can understand why they held back all of their merch and all of their marketing that pertained to Baby Yoda until after his reveal.
So, the trailer opens up with a shot of the Razor Crest, and it is looking beat up. Like, it's flying through space, sparks are, like, flying off of it, like, the hangar door is just kind of, like, flapping open. Like, it looks like whatever, like, the Star Wars equivalent to, like, a West Virginia car is. No offense if any of our listeners are from West Virginia, but if you are, you know what I'm talking about. It's just, like, it's beat the hell up.
Well, to be fair, I feel like if we have any people from listening in West Virginia, and I do not mean to sound statist, if I would, is at this point, I mean, me and Casey are obviously very, you know, we don't shy away from our opinions.
No, we don't.
Politically and whatnot on this show. Even when Tim was on it, we didn't.
No.
So I think if anybody, regardless of, you know, if people listen to West Virginia, they probably aren't, you know, all of that, like, proud of the stereotype that their state has had thrust upon it, even though
that's
it is
true.
Accurate.
Anyone who would be offended by what I just said, stop listening, like,
yeah.
69 episodes ago.
Pretty much. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
But you said it better than me, as usual.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened to the Razor Crest last season to get that beat up. Because I kind of remember them parking it in the desert, and then it was just kind of, like, off for the rest of the episode. So whatever happened to it maybe must not be a carryover from last season.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't know. That could be a later, like, that scene could be from a later episode.
But, like, he's on a planet, it's kind of, like, dirty and grimy, and there's, like, graffiti everywhere, and we don't know what the planet is. I think it would be cool.
Do you know what my theory is that it's the planet that he went back to, the planet that we all saw, like the main planet from season one. He went back to it after the, you know, the massive shootout and everything and the big battle, and he goes back there.
Like, where the smuggler... Well, see, that it's funny that you should mention that, because, like... Or not the smugglers, the bounty hunter.
Yes. Planet. When, like, that shot of that, like, the town.
Yeah.
Like, walk, that was what I thought we were looking at. I could be wrong.
That's what I thought at first, and then, like, there's a shot later on of Carl Weathers' character, I can't remember his name, Grief Karga. There's a shot of him walking with Gina Carano.
His character, what's her character's name?
Cara Dune.
Cara Dune, we'll just only refer to her as Cara Dune.
Yes, we're going to ignore Gina Carano.
Gina Carano does not exist. We only speak of Cara Dune.
Yes. But there's a shot of, like, Grief Karga walking with Cara Dune. And I think that they're on, like, in his, like, little city thing. And it's really cleaned up, like, from last season. So I don't know. My thing, I didn't have a theory for that planet. Alex from Star Wars Explained has a theory that it's Nar Shaddaa, which is, like, the smuggler's moon.
Ooh.
Which I think would be really cool to see.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then there's, like, underground, there's, like, some sort of, like, underground fight club, and it looks like someone maybe is trying to take the baby from him, and he's not having that.
I mean, to be fair, when is someone not trying to take the baby from him?
That is fair.
And to be fair, when that happens, when is he ever having it?
I love how Baby Yoda just, like, looks at everything and just, like, hits the button.
Well,
like,
I think the key thing is he saw the whistling.
Yeah.
Like, he saw that up here. He's like, I know what that does.
Yeah. But it's like, I immediately, like, I found a GIF of it and saved it because that's what I'm going
to... Oh, you have to send that to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to use whenever, like, I don't want to be in a conversation. I'm going to, like, send someone that and be like, bye.
Peace out. Be great for group text messages.
It would be. It would be so much.
If I would, I would do that 9 times out of 10 with my sister's in my group sister text. Except, I don't know if they would get it.
Did any of them watch Star Wars?
Just my sister Amy, and that's really only because she's married to my brother-in-law Dave, who is the one who got me into Star Wars.
Okay.
But I don't know if she necessarily watches it. My nephews love it.
I would think that, like, even if you don't know, like, who the character is or
you
anything...
You would get the point.
Yeah. Before that, it was, like, I had a gif of, like, Captain America, where I think it was in The Winter Soldier. I don't remember. Maybe it was the first movie, but, like, he crashes through a window.
Captain America content.
We'll talk about that later. But, like, he crashes through a window... But, like, the gif is in reverse, so it's just him, like, standing there and just, like, backflipping out of a window. Like, he's noping out of the conversation. That was my previous favorite, like,
gif. I feel like I just got scolded by, like, a true dad right there. We'll talk about that later. Just continue the conversation. Like, I will deal with your shit later.
That, I did not just go into dad mode
you,
with you.
Yes, you did.
What did you say to me last time I was here? I'm in middle-aged man mode. Which, like, I still don't know what that means, but okay.
Because I don't even remember what you did, but you were 100% in middle-aged man mode.
I was setting up your soundbar.
Oh, yes, you were. You were setting up my soundbar. And then you went straight.
Like every middle-aged man does.
The funny thing is like, I didn't even ask you to. You just started, and I was like...
I thought that's what I was supposed to do.
What? I mean, I'm not complaining. You did it.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, no, so then, like, I'm guessing, like, everyone, like, the bounties are still out on the child. One of the more interesting things from the trailer for me was the shots of, like, the X-Wings next to the Razor Crests.
Yes.
And then the X-Wings, like, flying around him, like, or behind him, like, around the clouds. Now, it didn't look like they were attacking him. It looked like, especially the shots
like
next to escorting him.
Escorting him in.
So, like, I'm kind of wondering if, like, the New Republic has gotten wind of Baby Yoda, and they're trying to get him, but they're not, like, attacking him for him. Like, maybe, like, they're trying to be like, look, we know what he is, we know what he can do, we have this guy named Luke Skywalker who could help him, like... Maybe.
Okay, I guess that was going to be my next question, is where... Okay, never mind, yeah. I just forgot that this takes place at the end.
This is season one...
It's 15 years after...
Five. Yeah.
5 years after Return of the Jedi. It was a 15-year jump in Rebels, correct?
It was a 15-year jump in Rebels, yeah.
Okay.
So this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so I'm sorry. For some whatever reason in my mind, I was thinking this was closer to the Force Awakens era. Which is not right.
This,
I don't know why, but I knew that information. So
yeah.
Carry on.
So I'm just kind of wondering if, like, yeah, New Republic's got wind of Baby Yoda, and they're trying to, like, get him from Din Djarin, which... I want to, like, be like, you can trust the New Republic here? Like, I don't think that they would be...
I trust no politicians.
Yeah, but, like, at this point, Mon Mothma would still be in charge, and I trust Mon Mothma.
Okay, that's fair. I would trust Mon Mothma.
I don't trust anyone else other than... that comes after her, as far as, like, the Chancellors go. No...
You botch it again! You let fascism rise up again in the galaxy.
I have a okay, not to, like, completely derail the conversation or go on a tangent, but...
When do we not?
I had a thought this week. Say what you will about J.J. Abrams, about, like, the sequel trilogy, Rise of Skywalker, whatever, say what you will about his abilities as a storyteller. That man does not get enough credit for writing a story about, like, the return of fascism and,
wow,
like,
fascism.
The powers that be's, like, desire to ignore that. Like, he started writing that, like, well over a year before terms like the alt-right came into, like, public consciousness.
Like, so poignant.
Yes. So, like, dude does not get enough credit for that. So another shot. Now, the big debate going on right now is the ice planet.
When is there not a big debate going on?
The friendly debate. The debate that's not, like, a bunch of miserable asshats arguing.
The debate
over...
about something that can actually be debated right
yes.
now.
Yes. So, like, the big one right now is, what is the ice planet that we see in this trailer? I think that it's a good chance it could be Ilum.
That was Starkiller Base.
So yeah, so Ilum is Starkiller Base, and that's something that we didn't find out until like the Rise of Skywalker Visual Dictionary came out. But Ilum, if you don't know, is the like the planet where it was very like rich in like kyber crystals, and
that was gonna be my question. Is that the planet that we see in Clone Wars?
Yes.
That Yoda takes Ahsoka and a bunch of younglings too.
Yes, and we also see it in Jedi Fallen Order. It's where Cal Kestis goes to get his crystal. And by that point, so like by this point in the timeline, the Empire is already on Ilum. And the Empire was like trying to transform it into a super weapon. Like that wasn't the First Order that started that. That was actually the Empire that started
that.
Yeah,
they just finished it.
Now, like Jon Favreau said that they are going to explore the origins of the First Order. So like it would make sense to me if they make their way to Ilum.
I agree with that.
It would also make sense to me that, like, if Din is on a quest to get Baby Yoda back to his people, not, like, little green people, but, like, the Jedi, if he's kind of going on, like, an investigative journey, it would make sense to me that he ends up on Ilum as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, that's why I think, like, that could be Ilum. It's either going to be Ilum or it's going to be a new planet. I just don't think it's Hoth.
Hoth doesn't seem right to me.
No. It doesn't make sense that they would end up on Hoth unless it was just, hey kids, we're back on Hoth. Which they're already doing that with Tatooine again. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Tatooine.
I don't need them going back to Hoth.
Wow, this puzzle, man.
Oh, yeah, we're still doing the puzzle.
Progress.
See, you've got it good, because, like, you're on the side with, like, the people. I somehow wound up doing the plain black sky.
Well, you have lots of other areas.
Okay, so the plain red sky, or the plain blue sky.
Well, I mean, we got ships and stuff up there, but no, it is largely difficult. I just would like to get all of the edges done.
Every time I come here, I say that I'm going to take the boxes and I'm going to like sort through them and I'm going to put all the edge pieces in the one box. I never do. Today I might do that because I'll be less distracted because of things. But like, maybe today is the day that I get all the edge pieces sorted out.
Part of me also feels like maybe we should just take all of the pieces that like
are not together.
Yes. Put them back in the box, mix them, and then go from like start fresh on the table, so to speak.
I would be up for that. I would absolutely be up for that. So when we're done recording, I will gather the pieces up and then
edge piece.
Oh my god, it's a purple piece, so it probably goes over there. I feel like we found a piece of gold. Like that's how valuable edge piece. You found it. Yes. Like, that's how valuable edge pieces
are. We connected a large chunk of edge piece to two edge pieces that we had found. So, progress. Very, very, very slow. Progress. But progress, nonetheless.
So that's my feelings on the ice planet. I think it's Ilum. We talked about Ahsoka and everything. Do you have anything else to say about the trailer? We didn't get much plot-wise. This felt more like a teaser than anything else.
Yeah, but also, honestly, again, I point out, I can't see them giving us too much plot-wise at all. I think even if we get a trailer, it'll be a bunch of cool, like, another, here's a bunch of random shots.
Yeah.
With some super generic voiceover.
Yeah.
I just can't see them giving us a lot to go off of, because they did it last time, and it worked so well.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get one more for season one. The second trailer came out like 2 weeks before. We'll see. If not, I mean, we're getting our first episode in just a little over a month, so.
Then we'll have new Star Wars content to talk about weekly for a little bit.
Yes.
Which is hype, because I feel like that's
exciting.
It's hard doing a strictly Star Wars podcast when
like, there's no movies coming out, there's no TV show.
Yeah, then when you kind of just have a giant freeze on all new content.
Yeah. comics are back too, which is what we're going to talk about now.
Yes.
Because we had two comics this week. We had Star Wars, I think, number 5, and Darth Vader, number 6. Or other way around, vice versa.
I think it's other way. I don't know. I'll tell you in one second. What is this? It's Darth Vader, number 5, is up first.
Okay.
By George Pak.
First of all, I love the cover.
First off, the cover's dope. I like the title, Dark Heart of the Sith. I enjoyed that.
Yes. And this is the end of his, like, Padme arc, so to speak. So he makes his way into the tomb of Padme, and Sabe comes rushing in and again implores him not to destroy or desecrate Padme's tomb. And he's about to.
You think she has good intentions there, but as we find out, it's not really good intentions.
Yeah.
But,
so, like, he's about to do it. He's using the Force on it. The tomb is rumbling. And then he first gets an image of Padme at a happy time.
The Tiger Clones? In the field?
Yes.
Frolicking. Truly frolicking, because as weird as that was to see, that's what they were doing.
And then the next shot from Revenge of the Sith of him Force choking her, and that just kind of, like, brings him back to his senses. So then the droid scans her and finds, like, it's a medical implant that's traceable to the planet where, or meteor, I don't know what it is. It's traceable to where Luke and Leia are born. And so Sabe knows where he's going, and I like here how the droid orders the Death Troopers to shoot the Amidalan, and then Vader's like, no. And he's like, tell the other Amidalans, gather here, follow me. And when he did that at first, I'm like, Vader, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't think it's necessarily like, follow me. It, like, how is this, tell them to meet me.
Oh, tell them to meet me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of took it as a way. He's like, no, just bring everybody you got. I'll deal with you all at once.
Yes.
Kind of way.
That's what it ends up being.
Which at first, I will be honest, I was really confused as to where they were going. I didn't exactly catch on. And then, like, you get that shot. And then, like, as soon as I saw, like, you know, the astronaut, I was like, oh, that's the one that Obi-Wan took her to.
Yeah.
But they get there, and, you know, Vader does Vader things. He walks there, and they confirm that...
That is where two droids, Padme,
and Obi-Wan.
The notorious Obi-Wan.
The notorious Obi-Wan.
And you can just hear James Earl Jones saying Kenobi.
Yes.
And then we get some shots. Some more shots from Revenge of the Sith. Padme saying, I love you, and him saying, liar. And then the Amidalans show up. And there's a little short battle. The Death Troopers flank them, attack them, and Vader just pretty much, like, brings down their ships on the people. And I looked at every panel. Like, I think Sabe, I think, is right there. I think. I don't see anyone that looks like Sabe or anyone that looks like that among the dead bodies of everyone Vader killed. So Sabe may still be out there. Get some more shots of it. It kills me every time I think of Obi-Wan saying, you were my brother, Anakin. I loved you. And then it kills me how, like, they keep putting in the shots from the prequels in here. Like, it just...
I really love I genuinely love the prequel flashbacks. And
yes.
I love that they're exactly, like, line for line, shot for shot from the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was awesome. They didn't try to, like, add new... crap.
Yeah.
So. Death.
Death of all the Amidalans.
Hopefully not all, but.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally reach, like, the medical center on the asteroid, and the droid is like, the data core is gone. There's nothing, like, I can't retrieve it. I don't know what happened here.
Right.
Vader's pissed. They find the droid that, you know.
Delivered them,
turns her on, and is able to, like, access her memory files, and they find out, you know, that she is giving birth to the babies, and some of the last panels, and I think these are really good, is, you know, you get the, it's a hologram of Padme laying there telling, saying, like, Obi-Wan, and the droid's like, there's that Obi-Wan again, must have been really important to her.
That's enough for Vader,
and Vader slices them in half.
Now, I was wondering how they were going to deal with this, because, like, obviously Vader can't come away from here knowing that Padme had twins. And I think Greg Pak thought of a logical and nice way to preserve that secret. So then he's got the recording of Padme saying, there's good in him, I know, there's still, and then you get the shots of Vader just kind of like...
falling down the shaft.
Yeah, and this is kind of like, you know, Vader's not going to turn good in this series, obviously. He doesn't turn back to the light until Return of the Jedi. We're getting the imagery. We're getting the hints.
I think he very well could have, if not for what happens as soon as he returns to the Emperor.
Yes.
I think if what clearly, you know, happens to be, he goes and, you know, meets up with Emperor Palps again.
Yeah.
And old man Palps is like, oh, he recites the whole thing about, like, fear leads to anger leads to hate leads to strength. And he was like, but this entire time, you know, you've just wallowed in grief, like, all these years. It's time for you to start fresh and to relearn what fear is. And it's, you can tell Palpatine's now going to torture him.
Yes.
So, like, I think if he didn't, you know, get tortured by Palpatine, he probably could have turned even earlier.
I think it's interesting the imagery they chose to use there, because, like, Luke rejects his father's plea to join the dark side by falling down that shaft.
Yes.
And, like, that is Luke's, like, choice to, like, remain good. And Vader, in that moment, is picturing himself falling down that shaft. Like, he wants to make the same choice his son made. But he doesn't have the strength to do it, and now he's going to be getting his Sith re-education. So overall, really good comic. I thought this was a really good issue.
I really enjoyed it. It might be, I don't want to say it's my favorite of the series, but it's definitely up there.
Other than maybe like the first issue, I think this is probably my favorite one of the series. So next up we've got Star Wars number 6.
Yes.
By Charles Soule, who remains my favorite Star Wars writer. Now, I got to say, he managed to pack a lot into this issue. Like, about halfway through this issue, the first time I read it, I think, like...
it did seem like it was really long.
I tapped on the screen so, like, the page numbers would come up, because I wanted to see if this was a double issue.
Yeah.
And I was only, like, 10 pages into it, but he packed...
I don't mean to interrupt you, but please look at my two sweet boys.
Oh my god, the way you were looking at me behind me, I thought there was like a giant spider right behind me.
Look at them.
Oh my god, your cats are adorable.
One of the few instances where I allow sun in my apartment, they're both laying together.
Sweet.
It's adorable.
I love your cats. But yeah, like, he packed so much into this, and I love it. So this leaves off where we found Luke in the last issue. He's on Sorrelia, and Verla has him trapped, like, in the cage with the water, and she's gonna drown him. Now, I don't know if... I know we didn't get to talk about this in the last podcast when we talked about this issue. And I don't know if I told you this in real life or not. But this character of Verla is from Charles Soule's Darth Vader comic. I didn't realize that. I thought she was just like a brand new character. She was in the issue of his Vader comic. I don't remember the issue number, but the arc was when Vader was on Mon Calamari.
Yeah,
they had like the former Padawan with like the horns, and he was manipulating the king.
Yeah,
and everything.
I vaguely remember this.
So he had like a force sensitive apprentice of his own, and it was Verla. So we did meet Verla when she was like a younger girl. So she's like, you're the son of Vader, I'm going to kill you. all looks doomed for Vader, and then, like, here comes R2 just kind of, like, rolling up, and she's like, oh, it's you. Your master's dead, and I'm glad you're here to see it. Zap!
And R2 just, does R2 things.
R2 does R2 things, and he manages to free Luke, and... So he stuns Varla, frees Luke, and he's just kind of like making her a fish, like you do with someone who just tried to kill you. And she wakes up, and she's still like hung up on the fact that he's the son of Vader, and she's like, oh, you left me alive to kill me later so you can torture me. You really are the son of Vader. And Luke at this point, I think, is... For the first, like, few issues, like, he was really grappling with himself being the son of Vader. And he was grappling with, like, his own, like, dark side nature. And I think at this point in the story, it seems like he's kind of past that. Because I am sensing something more akin to, like, Return of the Jedi Luke than I am anything else. Like, he's found his peace. He's reconnected with the Force. So he's like, I'm not here to kill you. And he's like, I don't know about Son of Vader. I'm Luke Skywalker. Interesting thing here, she recognizes that name. She knows it's Anakin, and she knows that Anakin becomes Vader. I'm curious how she knows that, because I thought that was like a really big secret that only like a handful of people knew.
It also means Kanan had no damn excuse. Considering he was a Padawan at the time of the Clone Wars, and he was at the Jedi Temple Anakin was at the Jedi Temple.
That leaves...
Like, how he doesn't know who Anakin... And he has a holocron of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he knows who he is. You mean to tell me he wouldn't know?
Well, no, Kanan knows who Anakin is. Doesn't know Anakin became Vader, though.
Oh, yeah.
So how does Verla know? Like, that's my big question. Because at this point, I'm thinking, like, the only people who knew were, like, Obi-Wan, Yoda, Bail Organa... The Emperor. I don't even know if Obi-Wan told Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Oh, probably not at all. They just probably said he died.
Yeah. Tarkin suspects it. Tarkin doesn't know for sure, but he kind of like infers it on his own. Thrawn kind of inferred it on his own. He never got confirmation. But, like, that's it. So, like, I'm dying to know how she knows about this.
Well, we think that Tarkin knows because of Ahsoka.
So Tarkin...
Doesn't he suspect it, like... Well, once he makes that assumption, I guess, rather, then he assumes that the reason Vader is so cold to him...
He hopes that, like, Vader doesn't hold it against him.
Yes.
Yes. And, like, he... Like, he and Thrawn kind of, like, figure it out in the same ways, because, like, they just kind of know this, like, the personality similarities between the two of them. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, if you know, like, Anakin...
You'll know Vader, because...
Because then, like, you see how, like, extra Vader is, and how, like, obviously he's Anakin.
And also the way he reacts to certain things, too.
Yeah. I saw a tweet a couple weeks ago. I don't think I sent it to you, but, like... The tweet was, like, Vader saying, like, there's no way these are my kids. And then it's, like, Luke and Leia shooting everything in sight and, like, jumping into, like, trash. And Vader's like, yeah, they might be my kids.
That's funny.
Yeah. So she kind of, like, starts telling him about Anakin and about the Force. And She's not trying to turn him to the dark side. She's trying to turn him off of, like, the idea of, like, the Force and the Sith and the Jedi all together. Like, she is getting... He's getting, like, the other end of the spectrum of what Vader tried to give him. She's actually... There's actually, like, a Last Jedi parallel here. This is, like... She is, like, DJ to Luke's, like, Finn. She's giving him the don't join speech.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, look, the Force brought me here. I saw you in a vision. You're meant to give me a lightsaber. And she accepts that he's not going anywhere until he gets his lightsaber. So she's like, here's your damn lightsaber. Go away. Never come back or I'm going to kill you.
Go, please.
Nice. And interestingly enough, it's in a old Jedi temple that was, like, big during the High Republic era. Charles Soule is writing a High Republic novel that comes at the beginning of next year. And this is the part of the comic that I was so excited for you to read. I don't know if you noticed this. I'm sorry if you did, and I'm sorry if it weirded you out, but, like, I was watching you read the comic because I wanted to see your reactions.
You were, but I figured because I'm already used to it from when you made me wait to watch the season 2 finale of Rebels.
Like, you know when I just want to see your reactions.
Yeah, so I could tell. It's fine. You know, other people I would be really weirded out by it, but it's fine.
So the Grand Inquisitor shows up. And, like, he's not, like, a forced ghost, he's not, like, a spirit or a vision of some kind. Like, he is actually physically the Grand Inquisitor who is somehow hanging on to life, or being forced to hang on to life. And he's telling Luke, like, I was once a Jedi, I wielded that lightsaber just like you're carrying, and he's like, but the Jedi are going to be no more, and you're going to be no more. And Luke is basically, like, at this moment, they're kind of, like, fighting for, like, the heart of the Jedi right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke comes out on top because he cuts off his hand, because that's what happens in Star Wars.
Of cutting off hands.
Yes. And then Vader shows up, and this is where, like... Oh, and Luke also, like, kind of, like, slices through him, and he disintegrates. So, like, that's where, like, at this point, I'm still like, what's up with this? And then, like, Vader shows up, and he's talking to him, and that's when it dawns on me that he's not just, like, a spirit of some kind. Like,
yeah, because once Vader shows up, he's, like, fully formed again. He's, like, fixed.
Yeah.
He has both his hands again. So part of me kind of thinks of him almost as, like, it's like a tangible force vision.
Okay.
In a way. Somehow, let me know, like, Vader's very, very powerful in the Force, and obviously, if anybody could teach him to do stuff like this, it would be, you know, Palpatine. It's almost like he used, you know, the dark side of the Force to trap...
Yes.
...the Force of the Inquisitor in this place, and, like, is forcing him to... you know, do his bidding and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's not real, and he kind of, at the end, it kind of, like, says he's, like, you know, he's, like, as, you know, I've served for so long, will there never be a chance of release? Like, let me finally die. Like, let my, you know, I hesitate to use the word soul, but, like, let it be at peace.
Yeah, right.
And instead, Vader's, like, you are but a tool shaped to serve my purposes. You will continue. And then we get... And I remember Emilio's because... you know, he says... There are worse things than death. And he kind of just fades away. Like, the fire consumes his, like, his corporeal being. And
yeah.
He disappears again. But I turned to you and I was like, wait, isn't that what he said?
Yeah. That was his last words in Rebels.
In Rebels.
I love how... So, like, Palpatine and Vader are obsessed with prolonging life. And as far as we can tell, like, that's the absolute best they can do, is forcing someone to, like, remain, like, in this realm, like, not as, like, a living person, but, like, as, like, a continuously, like, tortured soul.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the Jedi figured out a way to, like, become one with the Force and, like, reach...
Then...
Yes.
Like, reach that corporeal being.
Yes, and, like, yeah. they're kind of, like, exist at, like, a higher, like, level of enlightenment. Like, if Anakin had just, like, trusted in the Jedi, like, he would have gotten everything he wanted in the end. But, like, that's the best he can do with the Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Luke returns to the Rebel fleet. We get, he's there with, you know, there's... Or Leia's there with Ackbar and Shara Bay and her husband. I can never remember his first name. Kez? Maybe Kez Dameron?
You're asking the wrong person.
Poe's mom and dad. So Luke comes back and Leia's like, he's got his lightsaber, and Leia's like, show them. And she's like, they need help. You know, and it's like, she's like, she understands you're a symbol. And then he just kind of holds it up, and everyone's just kind of like... everyone's face is like, huh, what's that?
Lando's like, I bet I could get a good profit on that.
Yeah.
C-3PO just looks bewildered. Like, I get that his face never changes, but, like, sometimes...
You can see him, I can hear him right now going, oh, my.
Yes, like, 100%.
And, like, R2's, like, the one who's like, we're fucking back, baby! Something I forgot to point out when he was on Sorelia with Verla. I love when she says, one day you're going to wish that you stayed back here and learned how to fish. Like, it's so obviously on the nose foreshadowing, but I still love the line nonetheless. So that's what we got for our Star Wars comics this month. Got any other Star Wars stuff to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Good episode, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow Krista at
Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E-3 R's.
You can follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
For warning, the soccer season is in full swing.
This might transform into a Wolverhampton podcast. We'll see what happens.
Unlikely, but there will probably be a heavy dose of it.
There might be some soccer talk sprinkled in.
To be fair, this is your first full season.
This is my first full season.
Like, you've gotten to experience your first full transfer window. Well, not yet, because it's not over yet.
Basically, from when I jumped in on soccer last season, that was basically like my preseason. And then there was like a month-long break or whatever, and now we're in it. So, like, exciting times.
Indeed.
Hey, thank you for listening. Bye.